going to open the Senate Committee on Consumer Protection and Public Affairs for today, February 19th, 2009. Welcome. I'll do my usual warning that electronic devices like cell phones and BlackBerries do interfere with our sound equipment. So if you could please turn those off, I would appreciate it, and so would the committee members for our hearing today. We're going to take the bills in the order that they are on the agenda today. So I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 188 and ask our committee administrator to please summarize where we are in the process with Senate Bill 188, which we heard on the 2nd of February. Thank you.
Well, I'll just briefly remind the committee we had a public hearing on this, on Senate Bill 188. It is a bill that authorizes the Department of Agriculture to impose civil penalties for food safety violations, and it authorized the department to adopt rules to implement those penalties. It clarified the classifications in statute and reorganized some of the other penalty provisions under the relevant statutory sections. You do have dash ones in front of you, I hope. You should have a copy of those. And these amendments went through. Originally, the bill had a penalty provision that indicated it should not, any violation penalty would not exceed $25,000 per violation. That has now been amended all the way through the bill for each of those different sections having to do with different product entities, and from $25,000 to $10,000. So that's on the dash ones. And then there is also a change in wording, essentially, about where any penalty, any monies paid connected to penalties. The original bill indicated the wording would be for each of those different products mentioned in the bill paid into the state treasury and deposited, so for a violation. And now the wording to the credit of the Department of Agriculture account, and now the wording is deposited in the general fund to the credit of the Department of Agriculture account.
Thank you, and I want to remind the committee we heard from the Department of Agriculture and from Sean Miller on behalf of the Northwest Grocers on this. The amendment was something that they both discussed and supported, and I would entertain a motion on the dash one amendments.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Senator Rosenbaum.
I move the dash one amendment into Senate Bill 188.
Yes. Senator Rosenbaum moves the Dash 1 amendment into Senate Bill 188. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, is there any objection? If not, the
amendment
is, I'm going to wait for Senator George. We're adopting the Dash 1 amendment.
I was listening. I got it.
Don't want to hit the gavel.
Okay. The amendments are adopted? Mm-hmm. Right.
You want... Don't you want to move the bill?
I just adopted the amendments.
Oh, okay.
Now,
sorry.
Right. Now I'll entertain a motion on the bill as amended.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill 188 to the floor with it, as amended with a due pass recommendation. Sorry.
Senator George, quick here, picking up where we are. Moves as Senate Bill 188 as amended with the dash one amendments to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Can I ask for a roll call vote from the clerk, please?
Senator Burdick?
Aye.
Senator Gerard?
Aye.
Senator Rosenbaum?
Aye.
Vice Chair George?
Aye.
Aye. Senate Bill 188, as amended, moves to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and I would like to ask Senator Burdick if she will carry this bill.
I'd be delighted, Madam Chair.
Thank you so much. Next, I'll open a public hearing on Senate Bill 377 and ask our committee administrator to summarize the bill, please.
Senate Bill 377 prohibits an insurer from raising a consumer's premium based on re-rating information if the consumer requested the re-rating. It requires the insurer to re-rate within 10 days of the consumer's request. It requires the insurer to reduce premiums on consumers' personal insurance policies if, after the re-rating, the consumer qualifies for a more favorable rate, and it carries over existing discounts or surcharges for each policy of the re-rated consumer.
Thank you so much. And I would like to call Gerald, it looks like Rothenfluke, and David Green and George Starr, please. We have three seats there.
I think David's coming with Brian Miller and TJ Schilling.
So
these three will be together.
Okay, so
we'll go.
Okay, sorry about that. So we'll have David Green later,
yeah.
Correct? Okay, so Gerald and George, welcome.
Thank you, ma'am.
If you'll please state your name for the record and then present your testimony. Thank you.
Yes, Madam Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Jerry Rottenflesh, and I am a retired independent insurance agency. My agency was located in Milwaukee, Oregon. I am here in support of Senate Bill 377, the Credit Scoring Improvement Act. Credit scoring for insurance purposes has been a controversial issue for many years. Many agent organizations, such as the United Farmers Agent Association, the National Association of State Farm Agents, the National Association of Professional Allstate Agents, and other independent agent groups, have historically opposed credit scoring because we do not believe there is sufficient correlation to justify its use. It was these agents groups that came to the Oregon Senate in 2003 with Senate Bill 260 in its original form, as first passed by the Senate by a vote of 27-2. Senate Bill 260 was a total ban of credit scoring. Sadly, when it went to the House of Representatives, it was compromised down to a partial ban with some consumer rights added. It is precisely these consumers' rights included in paragraph 2 of ORS 746.661 that I wish to address and clarify. I believe it is self-evident that many, if not most customers with insurance companies who choose to raise rates as the statute now allows when a credit score is determined will decide not to exercise their right to ask. They face the huge disincentive of having to pay more for their auto and home insurance. Normal people can't take that risk. It is a fact that Allstate and State Farm are two major carriers who indeed chose to raise rates if a consumer's new score comes back lower. I understand that there have been very few Allstate or State Farm customers who have asked to be re-rated since 2003. Farmers agents have explained very clearly to me how Farmers Insurance has made this process very easy for them. When talking with the client, a Farmers agent can tell them about their right to ask for a re-rate once a year. And when their client gives them a verbal okay, that agent then takes a moment to run a new score. If their score has improved, then the agent can tell them how much they will save on each auto and their home insurance. This data is quickly transmitted to their operations center, and the company mails the client a refund check. The whole process takes an agent less than 5 minutes to do, and it builds good relations between the agent and his or her client. And I believe now there has been another company that has joined ranks with Farmers, that being Safeco. It's really the right thing to do. These companies are keeping premiums, even not by their own actuarial tables, they don't deserve. Some companies will testify against this bill. Their argument is spurious. There is no adverse selection against any company if this bill passes. It is understood from past industry testimony in previous years that companies who use credit scoring strongly assert that there is a valid correlation between a consumer's credit score and their future loss potential. Therefore, if any of their clients have an improved credit profile due to their own hard work and diligence, then that client is a better risk by the companies who own definition and thus deserves better rates for their cars and or homes. Senate Bill 377 has one small timing element. Companies must respond within 10 days. The reason for this is the current statute does not address the timeliness issue, and I am advised that Allstate and State Farm choose to hold off running rescore for up to 5 months. Each consumer's credit score can change a lot in a period of months. This action needs to be timely. I'd like to make one final point. The current statute allows companies to raise rates if a consumer score comes out lower. I believe this to be a huge disservice to consumers' rights. Why would the 2003 legislature include language about a consumer's right to be re-rated if they weren't interested in actually helping individual customers? I believe the language allowing the potential of higher rates was an oversight. Senate Bill 377 corrects this problem. All companies should be required to reward those clients who improve their credit profiles because that customer has taken active steps to reduce the risk profile their company now assumes. It is a fact that such a client was being charged a higher rate due to their previous lower credit score in anticipation of the loss they were expected to have. There is no adverse selection to any company because most companies retain the right to surcharge any client who has a chargeable loss. Loss surcharge protocols within the companies protect them against drivers whose loss records actually turn worse. In fact, most companies can and will surcharge customers who got better rates after a rescore when they have an at-fault accident. I speak as a retired agent, but also for agents of companies who want to treat their clients as well as the farmers agents currently get to, and now the Safeco agents. It is vitally important that this become Oregon law now. Thank you for your time and consideration. Oregon agents have been forced to live with the consequences of credit scoring for years. It is my hope that this Credit Scoring Improvement Act will reward families who have worked hard to improve their economic condition. Thank you very much. A couple footnotes. When the actuarial tables are set for auto and homeowners by the companies themselves, they will always charge the higher rate if they can. But if the rate lowers by the credit scoring, they choose to wait. This is not right. This is like having your cake and eat it too. It should be corrected. It's logical. It should be corrected. It's moral. It should be corrected. And it should be legally obliging to be corrected. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. And if you can wait there, we'll hear from the other witness, and then if you can be available for questions. Thank you. Go ahead.
My name is George Starr, Senators. I've been a farmer's agent in St. Mary for over 36 years, and I'm here to express my support also of Senate Bill 377 and what the agents call the Credit Scoring Improvement Act. My testimony is much like Jerry's, and in fact, we even written down, went over a bunch of things, but there's a few things I'd like to touch on that I believe in, and that's Farmers has taken what I consider the high road in this credit scoring. They allow, if your rate improves, if your credit score improves, they'll give you a better rate, so it entices people to improve their credit. I, for one, am not a believer in the in credit scoring. I never have been, and I don't think it belongs in the insurance industry, but that's not why we're here. I can read all of this, which is very similar to Jerry's. I just want to touch a couple bases and what he didn't cover, and that really, for me, I believe that right now our credit scoring is a double jeopardy. We issue a credit score for someone based on their credit history, their insurance score, and then if they got it right and they have a low score and they got it right and they have an accident, they charge them again. So it's actually double jeopardy. And that's really all I have.
Thank you very much, Mr. Starr, and we will take the time to read your testimony and appreciate your submitting it. Committee members, do we have questions for either of these? Sure. Go ahead.
To both of you, we just had a ballot measure a few years ago about this whole issue of credit scoring. And in the ballot measure, the argument that was made is that people who, the public agreed, and I'm not sure I necessarily did, but the public agreed, a majority of the public agreed, that people with bad credit ratings are a risk to the pool and would drive up the ratings of other people. And so the voters of the state decided to keep that structure in place. I understand sort of the basic argument, but it seems like to me that in light of the ballot measure, that it at least has to bite both ways, meaning if your credit rating, if you improve your credit rating, then your rate ought to go down, but if your credit rating is worse, then your credit rating ought to go, I mean, then your fees ought to go up because you're a higher risk to the pool, at least in how the voters of the state voted in this last time on that, on this issue. Comments on kind of it biting both ways. You get the benefit and you get the burden, depending on how, which way you moved your credit.
Well, I would love to comment. Senator George, as you know...
I'm sorry, if you could please state your name again.
Oh, my name is Jerry Rothenfleisch. You want the whole shebang? Or
no, just your name, so before the tape. Thank you.
Senator George, if you will remember, there was some very, very heavy advertising by the insurance industry. In other words, the big pockets. If that bill would have went through and they not been so dominant in their spending, and we have nothing to spend or very little, the results would have been much different. The bill would have passed glowingly. But when you have companies like State Farm, Allstate, Farmers, all those companies contributing heavily, mighty heavily, to defeat a bill, it's very hard to beat the insurance lobby. And that is exactly what we were up against. We had a very good moral bill, but we can't beat the money. So, I mean, how bad it is in our industry right now, that is, if an Allstate agent comes in here and testifies or states his opinion publicly to you, he's terminated. Where's our free speech gone? And that's not only true of Allstate, that's true of a lot of the other companies. They just won't say it.
I do a follow-up.
Please.
You and I have very interesting, very similar beliefs on the amount of money in campaigns and the ballot measure campaigns and what that means, but nonetheless, in the testimony on the, you talk about how Farmers has implemented this as part of their own internal activities, and that therefore they're a company that's gone above and beyond what even the proposal is. Why doesn't the free market take care of this? In essence, now that I know this information, that that Farmers has this great program, why wouldn't I, if I'm at, you know, whatever, State Farm, why wouldn't I call up Farmers and get a free quote based off my credit report and get the market rate at that point? And if I found out that Farmers actually had this program, I would, in essence, be able to choose this. And, in fact, Farmers should, well, you would actually be taking away Farmers, you would be taking away Farmers' market niche advantage, because right now they offer this great benefit to their policyholders that they, that everybody would be required to hold. And to me, the free market would take care of this in as much as customers are interested.
I'd be more than happy to... My name is Jerry Rothenfleisch. I'd be more than happy to comment to that. You know, the one thing that a lot of insurance companies abhor is publicity. And this has been kept very quiet. Farmers has kept it very quiet. I'm surprised they did it, quite frankly, but I commend them for it. They did the right thing. And I believe such as you, if this was out and made public and headlines on the paper, you'd see the Farmers' doors go crashing down. But there's not going to be any great amount of publicity on this. The general population is not going to know about it because Farmers is like the other insurance companies. They do good things, but they're all still in the same bed.
Any other questions? I wonder if you could talk just a little bit about the policy reasons during the legislature when the bill was passed to allow the consideration of credit scoring on the initial application but not on renewals. Can you talk about that difference and why you think it was permitted for initial but not for renewals?
I don't know. Is that Farmers allows you to do it?
Maybe Senator Burdick could respond
Madam
to that.
Madam Chair, actually, I was in on that compromise, and the rationale was because the insurance companies could show some correlation between likelihood of claims and the credit score combined with any number of other factors. But then we got a lot of testimony. In fact, some of the abuses, actually, ironically enough, were from farmers insurance companies. So your company's come a long way because, and I, if I'm slandering you, I apologize, but it's my recollection that there were some...
I'm not a farmer's agent.
Pretty disturbing stories told about about people, long-time insurance policyholders, who had a medical crisis or something like that and had their renewals suddenly jacked up when they had a 20-year perfect driving record. Mm-hmm. And so the compromise was based on the fact that, yes, there may be some correlation in the initial underwriting decision, but a lot of things can happen after that, and it having nothing to do with the driving record. And our thought at the time was insurance companies should be obligated, if they're going to raise rates, to base it on an actual driving record, which they have at that point. With the initial underwriting decision, it's a different thing. If you combine it with other things, they could make a case that it might be one factor to judge the likelihood of someone making a claim. So that was a compromise, and I think the ballot measure would have taken away the initial underwriting decision as well. I always felt that was a reasonable way to go and protected consumers who might, through medical crises or whatever, have a sudden decline in their credit rating through factors out of their control, but they were still good drivers. And I think in this economy, it's even more salient.
May I make one statement in regard to what Jerry Rothenfleisch, Senator Murdoch, made? If the bill would have passed the way it, in my opinion, should have, probably would have put three credit companies in very dire financial straits, because they're laughing all to the way to bank on this. They run credit scores, and that makes them money. And in all honesty, by them not running credit scores, we probably could lower the cost of insurance by not having that additional expense.
Any other questions for this panel? Thank you very much for your
Thank
testimony
you,
for being
Thank
here.
Thank you very much.
And next we have David Green, Brian Miller, and TJ Schilling, please. Welcome. Have you decided who's going first?
I think we have.
Terrific. Go right ahead.
Chair Bonamici and members of the Senate Consumer Protection Committee, for the record, my name is Brian Miller, and I'm here today representing Farmers Insurance Group. So, Senator Burdick, if you choose to slander somebody, I would be the correct person.
Well, actually, I was hoping to make it praise for what you're doing.
Oh, I'll accept that as well. I
think you've been redeemed.
Joining me today are Dave Green, a 25-year Farmers Insurance agent from Beaverton, Oregon, and T.J. Schilling, who is our compliance specialist here in the Northwest, and T.J. works out of our Service Point facility, customer service facility that is located in Hillsborough, Oregon. Farmers Insurance Group is neutral with respect to Senate Bill 377, as it as has already been described, and as in large part it prescribes a process that is similar to a current business practice of ours. As a result, my testimony will be very brief. If the committee does decide to move this bill, I would ask that you consider making one change to how it currently reads. In Section 1, Subsection 2, the reference to a 10-day period of time for a company to re-rate a customer, that time frame could be problematic. In Farmer's case, this is true for two reasons. The simple fact that the re-rating process is a manual one done by real people and completed by an individual that may or may not be in Oregon could create some situations where the sheer volume of transactions could make that 10-day threshold difficult to meet. And the second, maybe more salient reason from a Farmers Insurance perspective is that we own two standalone autonomous insurance companies that are specializing in particular types of insurance, high-risk auto insurance or insurance for motorhomes or manufactured homes, things like that. Upon receiving a request to be re-rated, it could be challenging for a farmer's agent to satisfy that 10-day period and still ensure that all personal insurance policies the customer holds, as described in the bill,
are properly re-rated if they happen to be with one of these affiliated companies. We would encourage the committee to consider language that would either require the insurer to fulfill the customer's re-rating request in a reasonable time frame, or extend that time period prescribed in the bill to 30 days from the current 10 days. That concludes my testimony. I, of course, would be happy to answer any questions. Mr. Green actually contacted the committee directly and was interested in sharing his perspectives and his experience with in reaction to this bill. And I think Dave's available to answer questions and to make some statements. So, Dave?
Okay. Thank you very much. Mr. Green.
Basically, I told the committee that, or excuse me, Madam Chairman and committee, I contacted...
State your name first. I'm sorry.
David Green.
Thank you.
I contacted Senator Bonamici's office to state that I was in favor of the language change in the bill. I think it's important that insurance companies not be raising rates for a worsening credit score. That is my personal opinion. And Lori Brocker asked me if I'd be willing to testify, and I said if the committee had questions as far as how we do it, I'd be glad to answer any of those questions.
Thank you very much for being here. And Mr. Schilling?
Yes, my name is T.J. Schilling. Thank you, Senator
Bonamici.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I have nothing in addition to add to Brian's testimony.
TJ is our local kind of subject matter expert, so that's
perfect.
Why he's along with us.
Thank
today.
You. I'm going to start with a question. We did hear testimony about how, from Mr. He said it several times, Rothenfuch, about how the whole process to re-rate takes about 5 minutes. So that seems a little inconsistent with you saying that it couldn't be done in a 10-day period of time. And I wonder if the 10-day period of time is because of the standalone autonomous companies and is most of it done within a shorter period of time. If you could talk a little bit about how most re-rating is done, because it's my understanding that a lot of it can be done in a shorter period of time.
Yeah, I would agree. A lot of it can be done in a shorter period of time. Our particular concern is with these two affiliated companies, farmers would have less control, and a farmer's agent would have less control over how that process might occur in these other companies. And so that's our concern with that 10-day period of time.
Okay, and if you were just re-rating for policies that were within farmers without the autonomous companies, how long would it take to re-rate?
I've been told, generally speaking, that we would be able to meet to a great degree the 10-day period of time.
Thank you. Did you have a question, Senator George?
Sure. Thank you, Madam Chair. I guess in my question earlier, I would like to ask you guys, it seems like to me that Farmers Insurance has a huge competitive advantage in dealing with customers in this situation because of the fact that you've internalized something that's consumer-friendly. So why wouldn't the market adjust to this so that if people really were seeking this type of relief, rather than us passing the law, let companies like yours be innovative and do this and gain market share? In fact, companies are being responsible, as the early testimony. Why wouldn't this be a competitive advantage that you guys would want to say should be left to the free market?
Well, Senator Bonamici and Senator George, I don't disagree with your assertion. I mean, farmers' perspective generally is that we'd like to see the market dictate, you know, how our industry performs and how companies react to that. Senator Burdick referred to the fact that it was Farmers Insurance that was mentioned more often than not with respect to some of these earlier conversations in early 2000. And our current business practice is largely a reflection of that experience we went through. So,
if I can follow up?
Sure.
I guess I don't know personally. I don't have any experience. My gut reaction is that credit score really wouldn't have that much to do with whether or not you're a good driver or not. That's my general gut feeling. However, I would think that if it didn't have anything to do with it, the cost of insurance, that there would be a company that specialized in giving great rates to people with terrible credit, because then they would have this great market niche also. And I haven't seen that develop either. So if you could respond a little bit, and I'm trying to decide where we should intervene in this marketplace. I understand this may be a great idea. I mean, it may be superb to offer this to people, but if you guys are doing it within the free market, I hate to interfere with that, because that gives, to me, there's a whole series of questions here that I'm trying to say what our role would be, because it's not consumer protection. It's actually forcing you to do something that may be a good business practice, but not necessarily detrimental to the consumer.
Senator Bonamici, Senator George, again, I think I kind of share a similar perspective to you. We made a decision to protect our own customers and those that have been insured with us for some time, and those are the customers that I know spoke to, you know, this credit scoring issue back in 2000. So our decision was based solely on wanting to do what is best for our own customers and, frankly, for our own agents as well. So.
Okay, thank you.
Questions? Senator Burdick?
If I could add something.
Sure.
Please go right ahead. Please state your name, Kristen. Thank you.
I think what Senator Bonamici and Senator George, I think what the committee might be overlooking is credit scoring is only one part of coming up with a rate for a client. There are many, many portions to computing the rate. That's only a piece of it.
Right. And Mr. Green, we certainly understand that. And my position, some of you may have noticed my name on this bill. My position is that it is something that the legislature has chosen to take a position on when I wasn't here at the time, but when the legislature made that decision to regulate the use of credit scores in the initial transaction but not in re-rating. So the legislature has made a policy choice, and once that policy choice is made, I believe it should be implemented fairly across the board to all Oregon consumers. So. Any other questions for this panel?
Madam Chair, just a comment. I guess I would, because I am a Farmers customer also for a very, very, very long time with a great agent, and I think one of the ways that your company is really reaching out to people is to talk a lot about how individual agents can provide great customer service, and that's in a lot of different ways. I mean, obviously making people aware of the fact that your practices are what they are is one, but another, which I think you're doing a great job, because I get other farmers agents, in addition to the one I already have soliciting me for business, is to just indicate that we can do a lot for you by, you know, because consumers, by and large, aren't very aware of how their rates are set or the discounts that may be applied to them that they are eligible for but don't know about. So I just say that's another sort of maybe more successful marketing technique that I see going on.
Any other questions? We have a couple more people here. Thank you very much for your testimony. You. John Powell and Sean Miller, come on up. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is John Powell, before you, representing State Farm Insurance Company and Liberty Mutual Companies. Madam Chair, I will just start with a review, and I was going to start with the review that Senator Burdick gave you about the history of this issue, so I won't dwell on that. I will say, however, that it was not State Farm or Liberty's practices that caused the credit scoring issue to come before this body. We think we've been responsible on how we handle credit before it was an issue here and since. The issue of the use of credit has, and you've got a sense of it already, is that it's one factor of many in coming up with an insurance score, not a credit score. So this factor is used on initial underwriting only after a company like State Farm hired actuarial firms to analyze millions and millions of claim files to determine which factors in a credit rating had something to do or a correlation with the potential for loss. That debate is over. There is a correlation, and a strong correlation. In fact, it was Representative Barnhart who, when we were debating this bill in the House, looked at a study done by the University of Texas and said, in all of his work to get his PhD and since, he had never, ever seen a correlation that strong. If you look at the bill, part of the bill that's not being rewritten, you'll see all kinds of limitations on the use of credit at initial underwriting. We can't use the fact that you didn't have credit. We can't use the fact that mortgage companies or auto loan companies have inquired about your credit, because those used to increase your credit score. Maybe they still do, but not as it relates to insurance. Can't be used because there's been a divorce. Can't use re-rate you because of death in a family. And the first page of this bill is complete with all kinds of limitations on even the initial underwriting, medical expenses, and those kinds of bankruptcies and limitations cannot be used. So the bill, the compromise that was molded, limited an insurer's use of credit dramatically. And I think, as Senator George has pointed out, if there was a better correlation or a way to trick that system in reaching out to people with bad credit related issues, there'd be somebody doing that. If it didn't work, it wouldn't be being used. We want your business. We want to be the sharpest tack in the drawer. When you reach your hand in, we want the one that sticks in your thumb, and you take us out of the drawer. That's who we are. That's what we want. So when it comes to the use of credit, State Farm right now, with their system, can only re-rate people at renewal, and it rewrites the entire contract. We would find, and we will have to find, if this bill passes, some way to probably manually override that system. But we have an IT problem, and I was on the phone as late as this morning trying to get a better handle on what those limitations are. If we were redoing the entire IT system right now, we could plug something like this in. But if you get experts in that field before you and ask them, is this something like this just easily done? I think you'll find that it's not easily done. So we would join farmers in suggesting that the 10 days be lengthened if you think this policy should move forward. It's also, I think, in line 14 on the second page of the bill, says that if the consumer qualifies for a more favorable rating category, the insurer shall reduce the premiums on all of the personal insurance policies. And again, with State Farm, we have a different model for homeowners than we do for auto. And so I think that language would need to be amended to say if that policy qualifies for a rate reduction, because it could be that one policy does and one doesn't based on the rating factors. And Madam Chair, with that, I'll stop and try to answer.
Thank you. We'll hear from Sean questions. And then we'll ask you some questions. Thank you.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Sean Miller. I'm here today on behalf of the Property Casualty Insurers Association, I will not go into some of the history. I was also involved heavily on Senate Bill 260 on the credit bill that passed years ago, and want to just express, I know companies I represent, or the association I represent, over 300 insurance companies that do business in the state of Oregon, very highly competitive marketplace, and I think some of the questions I think that Senator George was asking on the marketplace itself, if there's issues and competitive advantages from companies on any aspect, any consumer can go online very quickly, see the differences in those rates, easily change to different insurance companies. And so I do preface that. I won't go into some of the history on the correlation, but we also, the correlation on the initial underwriting is very important and is an indicator of future loss. Some of the issues that I've heard from our members, I think, echo what John has stated, but I'll just reemphasize the 10-day limit. It is I know, problematic for many different companies that I've heard from, just because it does put a manual process in an automated process now. As John also said, the insurance score and your credit components of the insurance score, you know, is a small piece, you know, in that entire insurance score. But, you know, there could be, in some companies, over 100 indicators or price points within that insurance score. So to, in a mid-contract period, if you take and you rerun someone's credit, and let's say their credit does improve, and that doesn't necessarily mean that their premium is going to improve, because again, you're running the entire model, and if someone has a let's say a ticket, or they add a car, or they change, let's say they move from a rural area to the city of Portland, where that risk factor may change, all those factors are put into the model, and yet their credit may improve, but necessarily their premium may not improve as the correlation. So, and under the bill, and obviously it says any credit surcharges, you would not be able to apply that. So let's say under that scenario where they got a ticket and they did get better credit, and let's say the you know, you would not be able to raise their premium. You would not be able to reduce their premium, so essentially I think it would stay the same under the bill. But those factors of an automated, kind of a, in putting a manual system in that automated, is something that we're trying to work around, and that the 10 days again is, has been a, in question. The other issue is what John indicated on lines 13, 14, where it speaks of all personal insurance policies. You know, the comments I've received are, you know, if it was, if this bill does move forward, if it was personal insurance lines, and a line of insurance would mean auto insurance versus auto versus homeowners insurance. Those are two different rating plans, and you may be a customer of an insurance company, but every company does it differently. Sometimes you have an insurance policy where all of your automobiles are on the same policy. And then you will have, some companies have it where you, if you have three vehicles, you have three different policies, and you may have a homeowner's policy. I think we can understand the difference of maybe applying it to all of the auto, but when you then have to take that into a separate, you know, a different rating plan in a homeowner's, I think that's been, from the comments I've received, that's been cut. Problematic. And so those are just the two issues that I've received on the language, Madam Chair, and happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Questions for this panel?
Madam Chair?
Yes.
Just my ignorance about how this works. So because there's already a provision in the law for people to request re-rating, is it the case that you're using some really labor-intensive methods for doing that right now, that and that this bill requires an entire new technology?
Madam Chair, Senator Rosenbaum, no. The what State Farm would do right now is, when the request comes in, the agent would explain to the party requesting that the re-rating would apply at the renewal of that policy. So a six-month auto policy, for example, if you're 3 or 4 months into it, it would be re-rated as of the next renewal. Again, the factors used in personal lines insurance are prospective in nature. They have to estimate the potential for loss and raise enough money to pay for future claims. So the rate making process is designed in those kinds of increments. Usually on an auto policy, it's 6 months. If you're a preferred driver, if you're a high-risk driver, you probably pay monthly because the premiums are so high. With homeowners, it's usually an annualized premium. Now, because of the value of the former value of homes, people finance those in one-third increments now because they're insuring such high values. So The State Farm methodology has always been based upon renewal, and as Mr. Miller pointed out, in the State Farm case, each auto is a separate policy. It's not like the Liberty policy, where you have one auto personal lines auto policy and all your automobiles are on the same policy. So you have different renewal dates in many cases for different autos in the house. And one of our initial concerns in reading this bill
with our system is we do not want to, when somebody requests a re-rating, we don't want to re-rate all their policies as of that date and have the same effective date, because many people stagger the renewal dates for financial reasons. You don't want them all coming due at the same time. And when I went through having two boys, teenage boys, driving cars at the same time, I understood why you wouldn't want your homeowners coming due at the same time your auto insurance policy.
Follow-up, Madam Chair, it's your reading of the bill that this bill requires people's policies to then shift to an entirely different schedule of renewal?
Madam Chair, Senator Rosenbaum, it does not.
Uh-huh.
And that's why we would have to do them, each one of them separately and manually.
Just prorating them, presumably. I mean,
Madam Chair,
what it would seem to call for.
Madam Chair and Senator Rosenbaum, yes. And we currently do not have an automated system of doing that.
Hmm. And I wanted to follow up on something that you said about, and I'm intimately familiar with how each car is a separate policy because I have many of them. When a customer asks for re-rating, you wait until the next renewal. So I don't understand how then the ability to re-rate means anything if you have to wait till the next renewal. Don't you re-rate on the renewal anyway?
Madam Chair, yes, we do. And in essence, what the law calls for when you ask for a re-rating is that you're re-rated by all the factors as of that point in time. And that's how our current system operates. Theoretically, you're asking for a re-rating if you're assuming your credit, whatever was causing a problem with your credit, has been resolved and that's gone. And it's not going to come back. I mean, you're not going to ask to be re-rated today and then stiff your electric company the next day, most likely. So going forward, you'd get the benefit of the re-rating provision in the law. It just would not be immediate.
Other questions? Senator George?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I should have actually asked the proponents of the bill, because you probably are going to give me the answer that I'm kind of coming to, but what happens to the other consumers in the pool under this scenario if people are, it can go one way but can't go the other? I mean, it seems like to me that everybody else in the pool that maybe has good credit, I mean, in theory, under the model, the rest of the consumers would in essence suffer. Do you agree with that general characterization, or am I wrong on that?
Madam Chair, Senator George, one of the ways that the pool suffers is the transactional costs of doing this. If we get a continuous stream of re-rating requests, the costs of doing that have to be built into the rates at some point. And so there is a transactional cost to doing something like this, more for some than others. But there would be those types of costs. From a purely actuarial standpoint, to again only go one way is problematic, because what happens is now you rate somebody and you find that they should actually be paying a higher rate, but you can't charge that. Their neighbor across the street has the same factors as they do now, but they bought their policy later and they're actually rated on those. So you're still getting a lower rate, your neighbor's paying a higher rate, and you have exactly the same factors applied to you. And that will catch up over time in the system as those factors, tickets and other things that you can use on renewal even out.
Chair, I don't know who this is a question for, but how many people are actually requesting these re-ratings? I mean, do you keep data on how many requests you get for re-ratings?
Madam Chair, Senator Burdick, with State Farm there have been very few requests for re-rating.
Can I follow up on that? It's because currently under State Farm, if somebody requests re-rating, you can also raise their rates, right, based on the credit score. But you couldn't on renewal. Now I'm really confused. Because if you said you wait till renewal and you can't use a credit score on renewal because that's the policy that was implemented during the session, then how does that work?
Madam Chair, if you're being re-rated, it could have the effect of lowering, again, the law on re-rating requires us to rate you as of the date you're requesting that re-rate. So if your factors have changed in that period of time, your rate would reflect that. So if the factors that were used in credit applied to your rate 3 months ago have disappeared in that period of time and you are re-rated, then those factors would not be used and you would have a lower rate. And that would be the same at the six-month anniversary or at the six-month renewal of a policy.
Madam Chair, I'm still confused, though, because it sounded before like you were saying you wait to apply that new rate until the annual renewal, but now it sounds like you're saying you actually, once you recalculate what the rate should be, would apply it. When would you apply it once you... I mean, the person is not required to request this on an anniversary of the renewal. They just can only do it right now once a year. So once they've made that request, if it turns out that they're eligible for a lower rate, when do they get the lower rate?
Madam Chair, Representative Rosenbaum, at the renewal of their policy, at the next renewal of that policy.
So follow-up, Madam Chair... So it does kind of come back to the previous question then, that since on a renewal date you're prohibited from using credit scoring as a factor in rating, then how are you really even complying with what I would think was the intent of this law?
Well, Madam Chair and Representative Rosenbaum, we do not use the credit factors from the model on going forward with your rate. I mean, we wouldn't re-rate you up as when the controversy started a few years ago. It was started with people who had been with a company for a long period of time and suddenly received a very, very sharp increase in their homeowner's auto or both. That practice does not occur with our company before or since. And because we did not use that element at renewal, and we don't do that today. It is a factor in determining where you begin in the rating structure, or which company or affiliated company you would initially be written in. Just like tickets, it's the same thing. With the fact that you had a ticket 6 years ago shows up on your MVR, we can't use that, and we don't use that because the law will not allow us to use it. We see it, we know it's there, but we can't use it, and we don't use it.
Okay. I just want to clarify something. I have a page from the insurance division website, and it says, question, it's a question and answer page. It says, question, I have existing policies with an insurance company. Can the company use my credit information to help determine my premiums? Answer, no, insurers are not allowed to recheck your credit information to decide whether to renew an existing policy. Question, what if my credit has improved? Can I request the insurance company recheck my credit? Answer, yes. Consumers with existing policies can ask the insurance company to recheck their credit. You can request this only once a year. So what you're saying is that the consumer asks you to recheck, they're within that my credit is improved, I'm asking you to recheck, but you're saying you wait till renewal. But the law says you can't use the credit information on renewal, and I'm sorry if this is circular, but I just want to understand. If you can't use the credit information on renewal, then it seems like you should be rechecking when they ask you.
Well, Madam Chair, whether the person asks us 1 month into a policy period or 6 months into a policy period, it is the same request. If the and the this law requires us to re-rate you as if you were coming to us for the first time, and so if those credit factors have diminished and they're gone, it's like a ticket that's 3 years and one day old. It's not used. And that's we can't use it on the renewal to increase your insurance premium.
Senator Chair, I think we're getting caught up, and it is a little bit circular. Wouldn't it make sense? Okay, you take the person who, say, has a medical crisis. They've had a great credit rating for years and years and years, and then they get a new insurance company. They've had a medical crisis pretty recently, but they've always been a good driver. But in that underwriting decision, their bad credit rating factors into the underwriting decision. So if that person goes forward, and remember, they're still a good driver, it's just because they had this crisis at that time, they got docked for it, and they go forward and they request a re-rating once they get back on their feet and their credit score has improved, wouldn't it then make sense to give them the benefit of that improved rating on a pretty quick basis when they approve it, and to not make it part of the rewriting decision, and certainly not, you know, if they somehow got it wrong and their rating actually went down, then not to dock them for that, because by then they're a customer and they've got a driving record and they've, you know, they're building up an experience level with the company based on claims. So wouldn't it make sense to just take these requests, which I think are pretty rare from everything I'm hearing, and to just take care of that one factor and then go back and adjust for it and not worry about, you know, waiting till renewal time or whatever, because during renewal time, if you're messing around with the credit rating, then that does kind of muddy up the waters in terms of the other bill.
Madam Chair and Senator Burdick, at renewal, the effect of a better credit score would not be used in a negative way. I mean, because again, we cannot use it as a factor at that time. If in the process you've improved that rating, then your score could be improved. The law says you can go up and down. In reality, you could, if you had a 10-day process at hand. Somebody came in and said, I want to be re-rated, and you run it, and it says, oh, you owe us $10.
I think, Madam Chair, I think the purpose of this is to, you know, the use of the credit rating for underwriting, it is, I mean, I think I really was pretty impressed by the amount of analysis that was done of the correlation for an initial underwriting decision. I think what this provision is aimed at is for those people who fall into an anomaly situation, who might have just been coming off of some situation, some economic situation that is kind of a safety valve for people like that whose credit might improve. I wouldn't imagine that, and so I'm perfectly comfortable with the fact that it can go up and not down, because they've already been docked for a less than desirable credit rating, and it strikes me as unlikely that people would come in if their credit rating had gone down anyway. I just see this as a safety valve for people who might have been in a situation. It takes a while for credit ratings to change anyway. And I think people have to understand that, everyone needs to understand that, you know, it's going to take people who've been through a medical crisis or bankruptcy or whatever to get back on their feet. I just don't see this being heavily utilized, but I do see it as a useful safety valve for people who just happen to be in a situation during that initial underwriting decision.
Actually,
Senator,
I'll take my stab at this. There's a lot of circular things going on here, but if the re-rating the way you read this bill, if there were other factors like Mr. Miller brought up, they got three tickets, two accidents, and everything else in the course of this, can you use that information on your re-rating? And if you can, then you can't, but can you charge for it?
Madam Chair, Senator Gerard, I'll take a stab at that. I think the answer to the bill is no, because if as a policy, you have a 6 month contract. Let's say your credit does improve, and you have those accidents and or things like that that may reflect an increased risk to that driver. I think under this, nothing would happen, because you would not be able to increase. Now, that doesn't mean that you wouldn't catch up on renewal, I think, for those things. But if the customer was expecting a rate or a premium reduction because of their increased credit, it probably wouldn't happen under that scenario.
And I think, Madam Chair, I think that's very appropriate. I think that's how insurance, obviously the claims experience should be the driving force, as it were.
No pun intended.
But
upon renewal.
Yes.
Not upon re-rating. Any other questions for the panel? Thank you very much. I wanted to also mention that there was some written testimony submitted by American Family Insurance dated today from David Monaghan, Government Affairs Counsel, and that should be in your file, expressing some concerns. And also a letter from Mike Roach, owner of a business in Southwest Portland, member of NFIB, in support of 377, believed that it would help put some money back in the hands of consumers in a difficult economic time. So those should be added to your file here. Is there anyone else here to testify about Senate Bill 377? If not, I'm going to close the public hearing on Senate Bill 377. And we also have some business to take care of today on the introduction of a committee bill. And we'll do the usual caveat. The committee bill has been, the LC draft has been passed out to the committee members, and introducing this as a committee bill simply gets it into the process. It does not indicate support or opposition to the measure. It just gets it going into the process. So I'll entertain a motion.
Madam Chair, I move LC 2315, dated January 29th, be introduced as a committee bill.
Senator George moves that LC 2315, dated January 29th, be introduced as a committee bill. Is there any discussion?
Just the standard disclaimer that I may or may not support the bill.
We appreciate that, Senator Gerard. That's what I intended to do with my introductory comments. Any further discussion? Any objection? If not, the measure is introduced as a committee bill. And I will end the... And I need to reopen the work session on Senate Bill 188 for Senator George for a moment.
Madam Chair, I need to declare a potential conflict of interest on Senate Bill 188 as I own a food processing company.
Thank you, Senator George. Your declaration is noted for the record. I can't imagine how you would financially benefit from
Senate Bill 188, but we've
noted that from the record. I'll close the work session and end our meeting for today. Thank you very much.
Put my competitors out of business.
There you go.